I believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things remain. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good morning, Christ Church. How is everybody today? Great, good, good, good to see you all today. As you know, I am not Pastor Bob. I'm Pastor Jim. Bob is on vacation and have a special speaker today. And we all know Jeff James, Restore Hope Ministry. He's preached here many a times, yes. And we discovered, I discovered that 10 years ago this month, we were in Israel together. There was 42 pastors and spouses went to Israel with the bishop. It was a wonderful time. Got to know Jeff a little bit there and his lovely wife. And you need to bring her and the kids someday.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay. But anyway, you're in for a special, inspiring sermon from him. I heard it earlier, so you will be inspired. So anyway, I want to welcome you today. Things first. There is the attendance pads there. If you would sign and pass it over, that would be great. So, let me open with a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for the love that you have for each one of us. Powerful love that surpasses. It surpasses all understanding. And that Holy Spirit that was in each of us that believe. The power of the Holy Spirit that is in each one of us who believes. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Guide us with your Spirit. Lead us. Help us to do ministry into the world with the same Holy Spirit. Those things that you have done and planned for us in advance, as the word says. But Lord, with being a believer, we have challenges in this world because we have the evil one. There are people here today that are struggling for one reason or another. It could be financial, it could be relational, it could be health. Lord, we just lift them all up to you today. Heal them. Bless them. Help them. Guide them. We need to put our trust in you. We need to understand and acknowledge you in all your ways, and you will direct our path. I pray a special prayer today for some church members that are struggling from cancer, from knee problems, from hip problems, from arm problems. You know who they are, Lord. We pray for their healing. Lord, we also know a church member's brother is in the hospital of a possible drowning. Lord, we just pray for a miracle for David today, that he will awaken and have all senses, no brain damage, nothing, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your love again. We just cannot fathom that. Lord, we just pray for Jeff as he gives us a message. Lord, we know he is anointed by you. Lord, we just lift him up and let his words be yours. We say all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Appreciate it. Oh, we'll fist bump. There we go. I said it worked for Howie Mandel for years, and then I didn't get a cold or the flu last year, so I'm like, I'm fist bumping everybody. I want to say a special fist bump to Jim. I told him earlier today that I thought he might be wearing a neck brace today from the whiplash that I gave him. So several months ago, Pastor Bob, who I am also not Pastor Bob, so just in case you were concerned about that, but Pastor Bob sent me an email and said, hey, would you like to preach on July 25th? And I said, usually that's my time to come here, so that sounds about right. And I looked at the lectionary passages for today, and they were just perfect. And then I looked at my son's scout troop's campout schedule, and we were supposed to have a campout this weekend. And so I asked my son if he wanted to go, and he said yes. And so I emailed Bob, and I said, I can't preach today. And he said, that's okay, Jim will preach instead. And a month ago, not even maybe, my son said, oh, I don't really want to go on that campout. So I emailed Pastor Bob and I said, is there any chance I could preach on July 25th? Because I love the passages from today. And he said, well, Pastor Jim was going to speak, but he's going to speak another day. And so, Jim, I really appreciate the whiplash that I gave you. And I'm so thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for you and for getting to know you on that trip. There are parts of this scripture passage today and so many scriptures that when I see them, I still see those places in Israel. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church. If this is your first time coming today, I want you to know that this is a powerful and amazing church that does great things for the kingdom of God through giving and working in our community. And so if this is your first time, I hope it's not your last time. I hope that you'll come back and keep coming back to see what this church is doing. And if you're online, I encourage you to do the same, to keep connecting with this place. There are some amazing people in this place, and I am just so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And so thank you for that. Thank you, Jim, for the special opportunity to preach. And thank you to Bob for going on vacation. I hope it's a good one. But thanks for the opportunity to be here today. Let's read a scripture today, and then we're going to go to Jesus in prayer. Our gospel passage from today is from the 6th chapter of the gospel according to John, verses 1 through 14. Stand for the reading of God's word. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and he sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. And Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to even get a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you be seated? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for this, your word. And I pray that your word would not come to us and return to you empty, but would bear fruit in our lives. God, I pray that you would speak to me, that you would speak through me, and if need be, Lord, that you would speak in spite of me, that we might hear from you and your word this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was talking to Pastor Bob about coming, he told me that he was in a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And so I said, okay, where are you in the sermon series? Because I knew these scripture passages that I really wanted to preach on, but I wanted to find out. I didn't want to be totally out of order in the creed. And he told me where he was, that last week he talked about Jesus ascending into heaven. And I said, oh, I just got a big smile on my face. I love how God works. First of all, the lectionary passages have been picked from generations. There's a long time ago that they picked these lectionary passages that I want to speak on today. And then the passage the part of the creed that Pastor Bob is in is just perfect. Not necessarily for the Apostles' Creed, but there's a line in the Nicene Creed, which we heard from earlier, that falls right exactly in line with where we are today. And it also fits with these lectionary passages. And that passage, as you can see here, it says the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. That part you've talked about already. It says what Jesus is doing, and the Apostles' Creed says that too. But then it adds this line about his kingdom will have no end. So friends, I want to talk to you today about the kingdom that has no end, because I believe in the kingdom that has no end, but also God has made it crystal clear to me in the past couple of years especially that his kingdom will have no end. And I want to be crystal clear with you that when I talk about this kingdom, when the Nicene Creed talks about this kingdom that has no end, it is not pie in the sky way up high when you die. It's not something that's later, right? We talk about heaven as if it's later. We're talking about the ever-expanding, never-ending, abundant kingdom of God that is as relevant to us right here, right now, as it will be forever and ever. That's the kingdom that has no end. And to talk about the kingdom that has no end, I first want to talk about space. Now, space has been in the news a lot lately with the Billionaire Boys Club going to space. You know the guys that I'm talking about. A couple of weeks ago, Richard Branson, who is, I don't think, actually related to Bob Branson. He told me that after the service. Richard Branson is the world's 611th richest person, and he sent his space glider above what NASA calls the line of space and then came back down. He didn't thank his employees. He took them with him. So he went up, and then Jeff Bezos and the Blue Origin company kind of threw some shade on Richard Branson. He said, well, Richard, you didn't actually cross the Kármán line. Now, the Kármán line is the line that everybody around the world determines is the difference between the Earth's atmosphere and space. So Branson went past the NASA line, but not past the Kármán line. And so Bezos and Blue Origin took his brother and the Flying Aggie and the world's most fortunate 18-year-old. And they went above the Kármán line for 4 minutes. And then they came back down. And then, of course, there's Elon Musk, the world's third richest person, he sends a lot of rockets up to space. He himself hasn't gone, but he did send his car. And his car is currently floating away from Earth and the sun at a significant rate of speed. And this is all great. I will tell you, I'm particular to the way our local billionaire spends his money. I like it. Thank you, George, for that. He's number 523 on the list, in case you're wondering. But it's interesting to me that all these billionaires are wanting to go to space. And I do like space. It's interesting to me. Space is hard. I mean, it's saying something that it took Richard Branson 17 years. He started Virgin Galactic in 2004. It took him 17 years to not cross the Kármán line. Right? Jeff Bezos started Blue Origin in 2000. It took him 21 years to get 4 minutes in space. He crossed it. Everybody should know that. And while Elon Musk has sent a lot of rockets up, none of those, of the actual rockets, the car is way out there, but none of the actual rockets or the spacecraft have gone past the International Space Station. And when you think about how hard space is, remember that it's seeming like the entire U.S. economy for 10 years, it took the entire U.S. government an incredible amount of resources and time to send people to the moon. Going to space is hard, but space is also huge. We launched the Voyager 1 spacecraft in the late 70s to explore interstellar space, to go outside of our solar system. It took Voyager 1 36 years with no potty breaks to leave the solar system. And our solar system is just a blip in our galaxy. And our galaxy is just one of many. Friends, when we talk about space, I don't think we can even comprehend how big and how incredibly onerous space can be. We can't comprehend how daunting it really is. And so I make fun of these billionaires going to space, but when somebody talks about stepping on the moon, putting people on the moon, or even crossing the Kármán line or not, that actually gives me some hope. Because what they have accomplished, they've accomplished something that's very hard, and they've overcome a ton of barriers to do those things. And the work that I do every day is not putting rockets up into space, but it's also super hard. The work that we do at Restore Hope is the work of ending hunger. It's the work of fighting a looming eviction crisis. It's the work of fighting hopelessness. Friends, these are hard and daunting. And if we were honest with ourselves, if we asked ourselves if we really thought it was possible for us to end global hunger, my guess is a lot of us would say, I'm not sure. And for those of you who feel that way today, I want you to know you're in really good company. You're in the company of the disciples. You see, our story from the Gospel of John today tells a story of a large crowd following Jesus. And that large crowd, it says, were following because they saw the signs that he was doing, healing sick and other things. He saw the signs of the kingdom. This large crowd had gathered, and they were out in a remote part of the area, and it was getting dark. And so Jesus turns to the disciples, and he says, where are we going to buy bread? Who's on for dinner? And imagine being one of the disciples in that moment. So these disciples probably struggled for their own food. They probably struggled to have enough food for themselves. And Jesus is saying, where are we going to buy the bread for 5,000 to eat? And I want you to know, it's not just 5,000. That was just the men. So when you add in the women and the children into the mix, who were probably there, it's double, triple. And Jesus asks, okay, where are we going to get the bread? Philip is incredulous. He says 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread, just even get a little bit. Now, the actual Greek words is, it says 200 denarii, And I did a little bit of back of the napkin math, and 200 denarii would be about $30,000 in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now. $30,000 is actually not a bad deal for feeding 5,000 people, by the way, from a catering perspective. But it's not just the resources, right? Who's going to plan the meal? Who's going to serve the meal, right? There's not enough time to plan. There's not enough people. Philip is overcome with scarcity when Jesus asks him, where are we going to get the bread? And then there's Andrew. God bless Andrew. Andrew says, well, there's a kid there. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can you imagine the look on Philip's face when Andrew said that? And I, you know, but Jesus, I can imagine the look on Jesus' face is Jesus is like, Andrew might kind of get it. But then Andrew loses faith and he says, well, that's probably not enough. And Jesus gets to work. Jesus says, have everybody sit down. John is really clear that there's enough room to sit. That's nice. He says, have everybody sit down, and then Jesus gets to kingdom work. And he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and those numbers are important, so remember that. And he starts dividing them, and everybody has enough. And I mentioned the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that you should remember that number. There's a fun fact about the feeding story. So Jesus feeds 5,000 in this story or more, but there's also a story about feeding 4,000, and there are other feeding stories in the Gospels. One of the interesting things about the Scriptures is that almost all of those stories includes 7 items, right? In this case, it's 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other cases, it's 7 loaves. But in almost every case, it's 7 things that Jesus uses. And 7 is a really important number because 7 is God's number. And the people who heard this story would know that 7 is God's number. 7 is the day that God rested, right? The 7th day. 7 means God, okay? So Jesus takes the 7 things, God, and he splits them out, and everybody has some food to eat, and there are some left over. And Jesus wants to make sure that everybody collects those items, and so he sends the disciples out with baskets. Why? Because that's God's gift out there, and the gifts of God should never be wasted. So Jesus sends the baskets out there, and they collect enough in how many baskets? Does anybody remember the number? 12. 12. Have you heard that number before in Scripture? 12 is the number of tribes of Israel. 12 is the number of disciples. 12 means enough. It means wholeness, fullness. So with God, 7, there is enough. 12. 5 plus 2 is 12. With God, there is enough. And not just enough, like that they had just a little, like Andrew was, or Philip was talking about. They were satisfied. The Greek word there means filled. The idea that I have with that word is, you know, when you've had a really good meal and you sink into the back of your chair and you're like, satisfied. That's more than just staving off hunger, right? That's satisfied, filled. So he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, filled everybody, and there were 12 baskets left over. There's another word that we could use here for this, and that word is abundance. And abundance is a word that God's been really working with me on for a long time. And the opposite of abundance is scarcity. And scarcity is something that I think we see all the time. Because we talk all the time about not having enough. There's just not enough time in the day. There's not enough resources. There's not enough people. Right? All the time we're talking about scarcity. And in this moment, Philip is overcome with scarcity. All he can see is that there's not 200 denarii out there. But Jesus has already shown that there's abundance. And in fact, he'd already shown the disciples and those 5,000 people plus that were there. Because he had shown that abundance through the signs of the kingdom, that there's enough health for people who were sick to be healed, that there was enough time to help the woman who was bleeding, that there's enough food for everybody, that there was enough wine at the wedding at Cana. Jesus had been spending time and time again showing them the abundance of God, showing them that there was enough. There was enough life for Lazarus to live again. There's enough. The kingdom of God has no end. So why do we believe the lie of scarcity? Why do we believe that there's not enough? Because, friends, the actual fact in 2021 is that there is enough food on planet Earth that not one person should be hungry. There's enough. There are enough resources that not one person should wonder if they have a safe place to sleep tonight. There's enough. The fact is that there are enough resources out there that with God, there is enough. At Restore Hope, I get to see this in some really profound ways through the work that we do. And in some cases, it's small things, like we have enough markers to make sure we help every kid with school supplies, or enough binders. I've got stories and stories about how we were worried that there wasn't going to be enough, and then God shows up with enough markers or enough binders, little things. And in the past couple of years, God has shown us in a really big way that there is enough. A couple years ago, we had our busiest year at that point in helping people with rent assistance. We helped with $305,000 in rent assistance, and our annual budget was $200,000. We went $105,000 over budget to help with rent assistance that year. And that ate into our reserves quite a bit. And so I started to look at our reserves and started to feel scarcity, that there's not enough reserves for us to keep spending at that level. So I went to the board when it became time to do the budget, and I said, we need to cut back on our rent program. And they said, wait, aren't you the abundance guy? And, yeah, you're right. So we budgeted $275,000. Really leaning into it. We had spent $305,000, but I was like, $275,000 is the number. That was for fiscal year 1920. So July 1 of 19 to June 30th of 2020. Something happened in March of 2020. You might have heard about it. Right? COVID hit. And at first, our rent program shut down because the court shut down, and we didn't need to focus our time in that way. But May 1st of last year, we started spending resources to help fight homelessness. First, it was $35,000 from the Community Foundation, the United Way, and then they gave us another $75,000, and they've kept giving us more. And then the Schusterman Family Philanthropies came and said, would you like $1 million to keep everybody from being homeless? And then the state of Oklahoma said, we've got multiple millions of dollars. Could you help keep people from being homeless? And then the federal government said, we've got more than that. Could you help us keep people from being homeless? And each time those calls came, I couldn't imagine how we would do that. Our biggest year ever, we had spent $305,000, and we had talked about cutting back. But then God kept coming to us through all of these people and saying, we need your help. Since May 1st of last year, Restore Hope has distributed over $11 million in rent assistance. We distributed $1.2 million this week in rent and utility assistance. Friends, when I tell you that there are enough resources out there, I'm telling you there are enough resources out there. The problem is not a lack of resources. The problem is a lack of imagination and a lack of willingness for us to participate in the abundance of God. I'm here to tell you, abundance is not easy. Abundance is really, really hard. The last couple of years, the last few months have been some of the hardest for me professionally. Because it has required us to do everything differently. For us to reimagine the way that we do our programs, it's caused us to step out in ways that we couldn't have imagined even 2 years ago. Like Philip, we couldn't imagine where the denarii were coming from. We couldn't see past the questions of scarcity. We didn't have enough people. We didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough. But as Jesus said to Philip, I don't need denarii. I've got five loaves and two fish. Jesus is not worried about resources. And we look at a world that's hungry and facing homelessness and hopelessness, and we wonder, how are we going to do that? And God says, you're asking the wrong questions. Which gets to the other scripture passage from today's lectionary that just struck me as something we need to talk about today, and that's Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I'm going to read it to you. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, to imagine, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then there's this line in verse 20 that is powerful for us today. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear abundance in that passage? Did you hear about the riches of his glory? Did you hear about comprehending? I pray that you could possibly comprehend the breadth and depth and height and width. And then this, look. To him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish. The power is within us and God is able to use it abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. To him be the glory. Friends, the kingdom of God has no end. And that puts our questions of resources, our questions of ability in context, doesn't it? Who are we to say that we can't do it when Paul has told us that God is able to do it within us? Who are we to think that there's not enough resources when Paul says that God has abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine? The problem isn't that there's a scarcity of resources, of time, or of abilities. The problem is that there's a scarcity of imagination and a scarcity of faith. The reality is with God, there is enough. And God is able to make it happen within us. A few years ago, there was an article in a magazine that the question was, what would happen if the church tithed? And I'm going to talk about money, so you're welcome, Jim and Bob. I get to talk about money, so they don't have to. But what would happen if the church tithed? You know about tithing. It's that we get to keep 90% of the resources God has given us, and we just have to give 10%. Okay? Just right there, pretty clear in Scripture, we're called to give 10%. Most Americans, most Christians around the world give like 2%. The United Methodist Church is, that's our number, 2%. So, but what would happen if we gave 10%? This article said that we would raise $165 billion. By the way, that would put us number 3 on the list, so sorry, Elon. And if we could spend it on going to space, or we could spend it $25 billion to end global hunger and end all preventable diseases around the world in 5 years. We could spend another $12 billion to eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. Another $15 billion to solve the world's water and sanitation issues so that nobody in our world would have to worry about the water that they drink making them sick. And there are millions of people around the world who are facing that on a daily basis. And we'd still have $1 billion to fund overseas mission work to make sure everybody knew the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And there would be $110 billion left for other ideas. Who's got an idea? We've got the resources, right? That's if we do the bare minimum of what God has asked us to do. If we give 10%, that's what we can do. Don't tell me that ending hunger isn't possible, that ending homelessness isn't possible. The problem isn't that we don't have enough resources. The problem is that we believe the lie of scarcity and we don't believe the truth of God's abundance. The problem is that we don't have the imagination or the faith to see what God can do. And if we're honest, we're probably a little bit worried about what might happen if we let God loose. As we close today, I want you to close your eyes. Actually, close your eyes. I want you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine going past the Karman line in a rocket. You pick the one of your choosing. Looking at the curvature of the earth as you cross that line into space. Imagine taking that one small step on the surface of the moon. Imagine going beyond our solar system. Now imagine what it would look like if we ended global hunger. If every single person tonight had a safe place to stay. Imagine what it would look like if people didn't fight over what they thought were scarce resources. Imagine no more war. Imagine what it would look like if everyone knew the hope of Christ's kingdom. Now, open your eyes. Now I want you to think and recognize that God can do abundantly far more than you can ask or imagine. That you might have imagined ending global hunger, that everybody would have enough to be satiated, to stave off the hunger. But God can make sure everybody's satisfied, filled. Right? God can't just do more than we can imagine. God can't just do more abundant or far more than we can imagine. God can do abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine. With God, there is enough. So what's stopping us? Friends, I pray that we would put away the lie of scarcity, that we would put that behind us, and that we would believe the truth of God's abundance. And that we would help and use the power that is at work within us to help people see the kingdom of God that has no end, now and forevermore. That's my prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, your world, your kingdom has no end, and you are on the throne. Help us to put aside the lies and fears and worries of scarcity. Help us to live into the hope of your abundant life. Help us to show the world that abundance through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lisa?
Yeah, Brett?
I call my horse Mayo.
Okay.
Sometimes mayonnaise.
Parenting is a lifelong commitment, and sometimes we have questions. Hurting Parents Support Group can help you navigate the changes your family encounters as your children become adults. Hurting Parents meets August 8th at 5 p.m.
One of Beethoven's most popular compositions is For Elise. But who is Elise? The All Ears Music Appreciation Society will answer that question on August 1st. Join us at 2 p.m. in the movie room. We'll watch an interesting documentary and a performance of his Ninth Symphony.
Children's Ministry wants to keep in touch with your kids all through the summer, and we know just how to do it. Our next Wacky Wednesday is July 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. It's an afternoon surrounded by fun people who want the best for your child. Let Miss Tanya know that your kids can be there.
You can find all this information on our website, cumctulsa.com.